I am fascinated, intrigued, and honored
you
by
may
the
have done what they said you did, but
they
you
are magnificent,
they
marvelous.
Say you are.
You
need to know that you're okay just the way you are.
Succeeded
in you as a child.
What you've been through matters.
This podcast is designed for you.
It's
love on a mission
hope.
In a world
about
where hope
is
greatly lacking.
My name is Ginger Wilk, and we're here to talk about that which matters.
Welcome to That Which Matters. Today, I would like to talk about fathers. We had an episode fairly recently about moms, and as we approach Father's Day, I wanted to make sure that we did the same and honored dads. And I want to start out by saying that fathers sometimes can get a bad rap. I think that many, many times dads are kind of undervalued, not recognized as much. We talked about it in the episode about moms, about how moms are often put on a pedestal and it's very sacred. And with dads, sometimes I think that it's a lot more complicated. And I want to let you know that, you know, dads are worthy of the same level of honor and recognition as moms. And I want to say this, fathers are just as important as mothers. And I'm going to say that again. Fathers are just as important as mothers. And I'm going to say it one more time. Fathers are just as important as mothers. Why am I repeating that? Because that really hasn't been the idea or the concept in my eyes of having been in the counseling or social service field for now over 30 years. In watching and observing people, humans, children, teenagers, adults, in listening to conversations, in having these discussions about family, that's not been my experience where there's been that 100% agreement and understanding how important dads are, but they are. In fact, years ago, there were many divorces that was automatically assumed that when a divorce happened, the kids would just go right with the mom and the dads would just have the kids on the weekends, every other weekend, a couple of weeks in the summer. And that was it. It was just the assumption. It was just the way court kind of handled this. And that has shifted and changed over the years to where there's a lot more equity between moms and dads, and they're sharing custody, and their kids are going back and forth between the homes. And there's a recognition of the fact that the importance between the moms and the dads, you know, is equal. And so I'm glad to see that happen. But I definitely want to talk a little bit about why that might be the case, why there might be less of an emphasis on it, and really where we can go from here. But even if you think about the Father's Day events, I mean, moms, right? Mother's Day, there's brunches in these beautiful restaurants, and the moms are there in these elegant places. The menus are amazing. They're in their pastel dresses and they get roses and so forth. And then Father's Day, you just see a lot of barbecues. And I always wondered about that. I'm like, really? That's what you want to do? You want to grill? Like on your day, you want to be out there grilling steaks or whatever? I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's totally fine. But you see how the differences are? One is spoiled and, you know, they're waited on and there's money that's spent. And the other is kind of in the backyard with your buddies and watching a game. So to each his own. But when you think about it, it's just a little bit different. And I remember my husband used to say one of the churches that we went to year after year, there would be this beautiful Mother's Day message that would go forth. And then when it came to Father's Day, our former pastor used to just talk about all the things that fathers needed to do better and different. And my husband used to walk away and go, my God, mothers are honored and precious and wonderful and dads suck. You know, like we used to laugh about it. That's not what was said from the pulpit, but it was kind of what was the message behind the message, right? And so I often think about things like that, and my heart really breaks at times about how misunderstood and undervalued the role of the father can really be. And so that's where I've come to taking a look at where this is maybe coming from. And so you have to look at estranged and separated fathers in order to really understand the concept. It's a big contributing factor to the message that, you know, dads are not being vocalized as being important because there's a separation from many. In America, in 2022, the data indicated that 18.3 million children live without a father in the home. That's one out of four children live without a father in their home. So being separated from a dad in a person's home is very common, one out of four. A lot of homes exist that way. And 80% of single parent homes are led by single mothers. So that could be part, right, of the reason why we're not really seeing that type of celebration, because there is a separation and that is loaded. It has so much that goes into the perception and the understanding of the importance and significance. It's not as easy peasy as maybe it might be with a mom. And so I want to share with you about the impact of a child growing up without a father in their lives. The impact is this: fatherless children are more likely to smoke, drink, and abuse drugs. 71% of high school dropouts are fatherless. 90% of runaway children have an absent father. Fatherless children are at a greater risk of suffering physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. These stats speak for themselves. That's how important fathers are when you look at just those few things that I just mentioned. I remember meeting with a client years ago, maybe she was in her 20s, and she was talking a little bit about the day that her father left the home and separated from her mom. And she remembers, like, you know, crying and him getting in the car and the whole family reacting to it and him driving down that road. And that particular night, there were two boys from the neighborhood that climbed in her window and sexually abused her that very night. And it was such a traumatic thing. Obviously, any sexual abuse at any time is tremendously difficult and traumatic. But for her, it was because that protective covering was gone and they knew it. They knew it. They lived in the neighborhood and they knew that dad was gone. So she lost her father. She lost that protective element. And also, too, there was a tremendous horrific event that occurred at that particular time. So why do we have so many dads that are not involved in their children's lives when we know how important it really is that they should be? Number one, there's a high level of incarceration among males. I always say, listen, if you want men to be involved in your life more, whether it's that you want your husband to be involved in your life more, you want your children's father to be involved more, I always say, if you want to help men, pray for men, because I truly believe that men are under a tremendous amount of attack, that there's a lot of forces coming against men really stepping up and being that person that they really want to be. Because most of them, if you ask them, they'll tell you they want to be that. When I work with men in groups on a regular basis, their fatherhood is their number one motivating factor in them wanting to change. Not anything else. You could tell them, oh, if you don't change, you're going to go back to prison. If you don't change, you know, your girlfriend's going to leave you. If you don't change, you're going to lose your job. Don't care, don't care, don't care. It's not that they don't care, but if you tell them about their children, they care. All of a sudden, a passion rises up on the inside of them. And that fatherhood is this shining light that leads them through the tunnel of their change and gets them where they need to go. Fathers do care about their children. Fathers think about their children. Fathers weep about their children. Fathers regret not being with their children. I've talked to them. I've seen them. I've heard them. I've listened to them. They lament over this. And it's something that needs to be told and advocated for. But there is a high level of incarceration among males. Let's think about it. In the state of Connecticut, there's one state prison for females and 15 or 16 for males. So just think about that. Think about those stats. And in each one of those, there's at least 1,000 people, right? So that's how many men are incarcerated versus women. And that's a whole other story, right? Sometimes dads are not involved because they feel like they're insignificant. Sometimes they feel like they don't have anything to bring to the table. It's a self-esteem thing, not because they don't want to be, but it's because they feel insignificant. Sometimes it's because they ignore the Department of Children and Family Services in their attempts to engage them. They're upset, they're offended, they're hurt by the removal of their children or by the involvement of the state in their family affairs. And so they ignore the attempts to try to reach out to them. But, you know, when I first started working in the foster care system, I remember I was working in the state of New York, and I remember that the kids that we would get, their files that were put together in the state would just be under the mother's name. There was no mention of the father in those files. You had to dig very deep in order to even find a father. So, you know, it's come a long, long way where fathers are recognized and they're trying to engage them a lot more. But the truth is a lot of times because the dads blow off the state, they lose the ability to be engaged in their children's lives. Sometimes and many times, I would say, it's because of the relationship with the children's mother. It becomes toxic. There's a lot of bitterness. Maybe they've left the mom. Now they have somebody new. The mom's very upset. You know, the mom sometimes uses the children as a weapon, like, you know, because of this, because you did that, you can't see the kids. I'm not saying that that happens in all of the cases. There's plenty of cases where dads are just not around at all, like, period. But sometimes that happens, and they don't understand how they can be a dad without jumping into bed with the mom. You know, I'm just going to be real about it. They don't know how to do it. They figure, oh, I could come over, we can try to strike up a relationship, and, you know, I could be with the kids, we could be a family, but then it's toxic, and then they're out, they're in, they're out, they're in, they're out, and they realize that being a dad is entangled within this relationship with their children's mother, and they don't know how to separate that out. They don't know how to have this business relationship with the child's mother, respectful and basically just around the arrangements. They don't know how to separate it out, and they need that. They need to know how to do that. Some of them don't know that they have rights in the courts to go and get custody. Many times it's because of child support. And I truly believe that, you know, every parent should provide for their children and, you know, you should pay child support and so forth. But many, many times it's not so black and white. There's ways to get around that to be in your children's lives. A lot of times dads might not have the skills to know what to do with their kids because moms do set a lot of the tone in the household and they're over a lot of the activities. They feel removed. They feel like they just don't know what to do and they need a mentor or mentors to help them to get there. And they need to understand that they have rights and that they have so much that they can contribute. And so, you know, even, you know, there's times when they need to be understanding of the fact that there's significance, even if they're not actively in their children's lives all the time, right? And I truly believe that dads just need to come in a lot closer. Wherever you are, like if you're a mile away, and I don't mean that physically, but if you're a mile away, come in a half a mile. You know what I mean? If you're a half a mile, come in a quarter of a mile, like take steps to come in closer because you're needed. Absolutely 100% needed. And, you know, dads, sometimes they know that they have some messes they have to clean up in their own lives, just as moms do, right? Just as people do. So sometimes we need to work on ourselves first, but that does not take away the right or the importance of being in our children's lives. And so I want to say this to not just people that are separated by divorce or by, you know, where there's been a breakup or where maybe they had a child with somebody a long time ago, they haven't been in their lives, or whether you're separated through incarceration or through, you know, the state, the child's over here, you're five states away. Or even if you're in the same home and you feel very separated from your children, you feel like they rally around the mom and you're kind of in your own world, come closer, come closer. Do it because you're important. You're significant, not because you're bad or you have flaws, but you're significant. You're needed. And it may not be the easiest road to get there, but it's so worth it to be in your children's lives in an even greater way. So what is a father's role? Well, number one, a father's role is you tell your children who they are. You promote the identity of your child. I think about when Jesus was standing, and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. A lot of people know this story. And, you know, Satan himself was taunting him, right? And he's trying to tell him, you know, turn these stones into bread and jump off this cliff and all these other things. He was trying to kill him. He was trying to taunt him. But one of the things that he said was, you know, in so many words, if you are the Son of God, jump off this cliff. If you are the Son of God, you know, turn these stones into bread. What was he really saying? Who's your father? Who's your daddy? Right? I told you about when I was a kid and I would get made fun of, you know, they made fun of me because they said that my father was someone who stole doorknobs, which was ridiculous because that's not what he did. But somehow that's what they said. But what were they really doing? Who are you? You're just the child of a doorknob salesman. You know what I mean? Which is so ridiculous. But, you know, who are you? What's your identity? You know? And so our dads give us that identity. They tell us who we are. They may not be able to tell us everything. They're only human, right? They're limited in ways, but they tell us who we are. And we need to know who we are and what our life is all about. And that comes from that father. That father imparts that. So don't be silent. You know, your words need to be chosen carefully. So what you do say over your children, say those carefully. Don't tell them that there's something that you really didn't intend for them to be. Tell them what they really are, what you see them as. You see them as somebody that's really good with people, and they would be great in a sales position, not doorknobs, though, a sales position or, you know, a marketing position. Or you see that they're really, really good with math. You know, you can be an engineer. You can be a mathematician. You can be a teacher. And it's not just about profession. It could be about personality. It could be about their impact that they're going to make on the world in other ways. But choose those words carefully, because your words, dads, have power to them. But don't be silent either. There are plenty of dads that are not speaking anything over their children, and silence speaks rejection over them. Just imagine if you went to this motivational speaker, right? Everybody's lining up afterwards, or beforehand, right? Everyone's lining up to try to go to this motivational speaker. They all love him. You know, he's got podcasts and all this stuff, or she does. And they have the whole audience line up and they say, we're going to give you a word. Every single one of you is going to get this quote from me specific for you. Okay. You know, John Smith, you know, Taron, Terry, Janine, each person comes up and they get this quote. And then all of a sudden you get there. And you look them right in their face and they say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you. Imagine how you would feel if that were the case. Well, that's what it's like when children don't get those words from their fathers. They need to hear something. They need to hear more than silence, because silence translates to rejection. And it's super important to be able to get that. Protection. That's another role of a father. And I will never forget when we first had our firstborn child, we were just leaving the hospital. We were both nervous wrecks and we didn't know what we were doing. And my husband, you know, pulled up to the curb. They brought me out in a wheelchair with my baby girl. And we got into the back seat, got her in her new car seat, which we had just put together like a day before I went into the hospital. And he was driving out and he was so nervous that he like hit the curb and blew our tire out. And so we were like, oh my God. So he ended up, we were able to kind of like hobble over to a gas station and he went in to try to get somebody to do a, like a fix a flat or whatever thing. And I'm in the back seat and I kind of like, I think I put my head down or something to grab something on the ground. And he came over to me and had me roll down the window and he was like, you need to keep an eye on her at all times. Do you know how much money people could get in the black market for this baby? And I was like, oh my God, like, I never even thought about that. I don't know where that came from. But it was literally, she was out of the hospital for probably 10 minutes. And that protective element of him just came to the surface and there it was. And, so, you know, the thing is that to be a protector is a big part of being a dad, right? The monsters in the closet, dad's going to take care of that. You know, the noises in the attic, dad's going to take care of that. The bugs on the ceiling, dad's going to take care of that. Anything around the house, people pulling in the driveway, boundaries with people being on the property or in our lives, dad's going to take care of that. I remember when we were teenagers, me and my younger sisters, we used to go to a dude ranch. And I remember that we stayed in a room next door to my parents. I mean, they were literally the next door over. And we were teenagers at this point. We weren't little kids. But I remember the first time that we had that arrangement, you know, our suitcases were still on the bed. And my father came into the room and he was like, you know, you guys okay? And we're like, yeah, we're fine. And he goes, okay, in the event of a fire, pick up this chair and throw it through the glass and get out of this room. And we were like, oh my goodness. Like we were still, the car was still warm. We had just pulled in, you know, and it seemed like it just came out of nowhere. Like we were like, what is he talking about? But this was his protective element coming out, right? To, God forbid, he's not in the same room. He can't protect us from a fire. This is what he needed to do to try to be there. And so a good quote is, he adopted a role called being a father so that his child would have something mythical and infinitely important, a protector. And so that's a quote. And basically, the protector is a big, big part of exactly what a father does, and it's instinctual. A provider. It's very important to contribute to the financial needs of a house. Now, nowadays, right, there's two income houses in most places, especially in New England, right? So it's not just one person providing, but it is important that that area is covered, whether or not that person is in the house or isn't in the house. But children look to fathers to do that, and it's a very important role that they have. And sometimes it may be underrecognized and undervalued. Sometimes it might be taken for granted. But there is a great appreciation for somebody getting up and going, especially if you're getting up and going to a job that you don't like, that you hate. You know, there's other things that you would want to be doing, but it's admirable, right? It's admirable. Honest wages, you know, being able to just go, and even if it's smaller than what you would want it to be, the paycheck that you have, it's honorable to be able to hit that pavement every single day. And thank you, dads, for doing that in your homes, and making sure that are faithful in paying child support and making sure that those needs are met, because it's very important. But of course, this should not dominate the role. It's not enough. And I recently heard a person giving a testimony of how he's a single dad now, and he had had Department of Children and Families involved in his life because his wife or girlfriend or the mother of the children had a lot of mental health issues. And because of that, there was neglect. And so the state came into his home on two or three different occasions and removed the children. And it was a whole big thing. And he was saying that the reason why he missed a lot of the signs was because he was focused on being that dad that was the provider. So he was gone 12 to 18 hours a day with double jobs to make sure that he was making enough money to pay all the bills and to make sure that the family had enough. But what he was missing was time in being able to be with those children. And I will tell you, kids, they will take time over money any day. And I know it doesn't seem like it, because sometimes kids hit a point where it seems like they might be a little bit more materialistic. Not in all cases, but where money seems a little bit more important when they're teenagers and they want to look good or whatever. But if you gave them a choice of money over time, they would pick time any day with you. So it's really, really important that you have that in place. Dads are also teachers. Jackson Brown says, life doesn't come with an instruction book. That's why we have fathers. And I think about my husband and how he gave our children the gift of music. They used to have jam sessions every single Tuesday night where they would go in one room and he would play one song after another and they would just dance around the room. And it could be slow songs. It was songs from the 50s. It was La Traviata, it was rock music, it was whatever. He gave them the gift of music. He taught them about birds. He taught them about history. He taught them about the spiritual things, about God and all of the biblical stuff. So much to impart. And every dad is different. What you have to impart is teaching kids about the streets and making sure that they don't get caught up in some of the things with the streets. But it's important that you understand that you have something to give. I want to read you a poem that my daughter wrote or her father, my husband. And she entered this and won a contest. She wrote this in college. And it says, "If I lost the bird lover, my father, a war horn would sound and rise to the moon. The stars would shatter and fall from the sky. You taught me to spot the hummingbird fly and not to make any movement too soon. You told me first to notice every hawk, that for birds to always soar is God's prayer. Without you, snowflakes landing on my hair would melt, ice dissolve to powdery chalk. Nature's rhythms and music we revered. In thunder, the song of the whippoorwill. A chickadee's whistle, I'd hear you still. Tokens of loss, the one forever feared. A depression, tears, no one could subdue. I promise I will immortalize you." So that was written by my daughter to my husband. And if that doesn't depict the love and the appreciation that she has for her father, I don't know what does. And so I want to let you know, dads, how important you really are. I want to let you know that love and affection is super important. It's not just reserved for mom. Dads sometimes distance themselves. For instance, with boys, sometimes they distance themselves because of the gender. But I want to tell you, hug, kiss your sons. Tell them you love them. They need that. Just because they're boys, they need that. They need your affection. And they need to know that you're proud of them. That's the only thing that boys have ever talked about when they become men and later on in life that they wish they could have heard is those words, "I'm proud of you." Don't distance yourself from girls after they get their periods and they become young women. Hug them, kiss them, tell them you love them. They need to know that you love them. They need to have that affection so that they don't run into the arms of somebody else looking for it. You be that one to give it to them. It's important for you to know that you need to raise your self-esteem and understand your significance. If you need to do improvements, do them. Show the improvements. Come in closer. Bring down barriers. Tell your sons you're proud of them. Jesus was told by God when he began his ministry in front of crowds of people. He said, "This is my son, with whom I am well pleased." And this was before Jesus ever turned water into wine, ever performed a miracle, or did one thing that was mentioned in the Word of God that would have given him some sort of noteworthy actions. He said, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." Jesus called God Father and Abba, which means daddy. It was really important to see that that was a term that was used by Jesus. My father, he's been gone for 12 years, but I will say this about him. He was home every single day of my life at 5 o'clock. And that sent a tempo and a rhythm in my life of trust for men and trust in general for people. Because every day I could look out at that driveway and see him there. He may not have gotten me in some ways. I wasn't good at sports. There was a lot of ways that we couldn't connect. But he set that rhythm, that tempo for me that I could trust. And that was a huge foundation in my life. And I will forever be grateful for my dad because of that. And so I want to say to all you dads, happy Father's Day. You matter. You are significant and you are worthy of the honor that is due to you. Thanks for listening.
In collaboration with IML Productions, this has been your host, Ginger Wilk, with That Which Matters. Thank you for listening.